Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are opened, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the church and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
As with gladness, men of old.
Starry moon. from above, and for our salvation let us pray to the Lord.
Chapter of Isaiah. Jerusalem is assured that nations will make a pilgrimage to her because the light of God's presence is in her midst. The bountiful food of the sea and the profits of international trade will come streaming to Jerusalem and thereby declare God's praise. Arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and the thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
We will now read the Psalm 72 responsibly, please. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to the king's son.
That he may rule your people righteously and the Lord with justice.
That the mountains may bring prosperity to the people and the hills in righteousness.
Let him defend the needy among the people, rescue the poor, and crush the oppressor.
May he live as long as the sun and the moon endure, from one generation to another.
Let him come down like rain upon the mown field, like showers that water the earth.
In his time, may the righteous flourish, and let there be an abundance of peace till the moon shall be no more.
May the kings of Tarshish and the high isles pay tribute, and the kings of Sheba and Seba offer gifts.
May all the kings bow down before him, and all the nations do him service.
For the king delivers the poor who cry out in distress, the oppressed, and those who have no helper.
He has compassion on the lowly and the poor, and preserves the lives of the needy.
From oppression and violence, he redeems their lives, and precious is their blood in his sight.
The second reading for today is from the third chapter of Ephesians. What had been hidden from previous generations is now made known through the gospel ministry of Paul and others. In Christ, both Jews and Gentiles participate in the richness of God's promised salvation. This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given to me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I wrote above in a few words. A reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as it had now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, the Gentiles had become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I have become a servant, according to the gift of God's grace that was given me by the working of his power. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. So that through the church, the wisdom of God in its rich variety might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he has carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in him. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage. When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, "And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. I've asked a cast of characters to help us this morning with a little skit that I wrote specifically for Epiphany Sunday. The story has been told for centuries now, how the three kings, Gaspar, Melchior, and Belshazzar, brought gifts to the newborn king. The truth is, the Bible doesn't tell us they were kings. They were magi. They were the scientists of their day, sages, astronomers, astrologers, wise people. Not just ordinary men or women either. The Bible doesn't tell us there were three of them either. Three wise people carrying in such expensive gifts would have been foolish enough to travel alone, would not have been foolish enough to travel alone. Most likely they traveled in a caravan with as many as 20 or 30 other people, servants, guards, and fellow magi. As everyone knows, the number comes from the gifts they brought: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But the story is incomplete. Listen to what I believe is the rest of the story. You shall learn the secret of the gifts. Use your imagination to see Mary, Joseph, and a 2-year-old Jesus as these visitors arrive. I'll ask the visitors to come and take their places eventually. Modern astronomers believe the star they followed was a conjunction of several planets, and it would have taken them a year or more to follow it to Bethlehem. We catch up with the three wise people as they discuss their visit to Bethlehem.
You know, I wish I'd gotten a camel that spit at me every time I get close to it. Do that, Gaspar?
Nope.
Well, who would have believed he was born in a cave used for a stable? As we followed that star, I thought there would be a mansion or a castle or a palace. I never expected to hear that he was surrounded by sheep and goats, cows and horses when he was born.
What amazed me were his parents, his mother and his father. My word. I mean, the star we followed was a royal star, and I expected royalty. We came to the house where he was staying. I thought we were seeing a servant girl and a carpenter, just poor, ordinary people. No jewels, no riches, no nothing. Just common, ordinary peasants.
What almost fooled me was this Herod, this so-called king. Did he take us in? When he asked us to come back and tell him where the child was born so that he could worship him. I almost fell for that. If God hadn't given me that dream to warn us about Herod and to go back this longer way, we would have delivered the child right into his very hands.
That would have been terrible. I'm certain he would have killed us too if he could have.
That Herod was insanely paranoid and cruel. I suspect that he may still arrange for all the babies in the land of Israel to be killed. I would not be at all surprised by that. He may slaughter lots of innocent children in order to kill that one.
How lucky we were that the sign was a star and not a comet.
Yes, of course.
A comet would have meant evil omen. All of my studies have told me that a comet foretells something terrible will happen. The death of a king, a great famine, or a war that kills thousands of people. But instead of a comet, we saw a star.
A sign of goodness. I understand Jupiter and Saturn. I understand a king being born in Israel. And I understand about the star, the goodness of the star. I too am glad it is not a comet, Balthasar. But one thing that baffles me is that it happened in the constellation of Pisces. I mean, there is never anything great that has happened in the constellation Pisces. I don't understand it, the sign of the fish. This great king was born with the sign of the fish. It seems peculiar.
Perhaps one day God will give me another dream and explain the meaning of Pisces and why the great king was born under the sign of a fish. But let's talk of what we do know, of what we have learned. What you have learned from this adventure we've shared together.
Well, as you both know, I'm quite a materialistic. And I can argue the price of camels with anybody. But somehow this journey has taught me the truth about success and money. They are really rather empty. In spite of what the world thinks, they don't bring happiness.
We each gave gifts to this Christ child.
I gave gold to this king. Gold, the sign of rulers. And you, Balthasar, you gave myrrh, the sign and ointment of those who died but lived forever.
And I gave frankincense. You can tell how much of a materialist I am. I kept a little bit for myself. Here, you can even smell it. You know,
isn't that mean stuff?
Very good.
It has a beautiful scent. Incense shows that the Christ child is going to be a spiritual leader. For frankincense belongs to priests. It's a sign of priests. But in spite of all these gifts and their symbolism, I believe that the baby born in Bethlehem was really the greatest gift, far greater than the gifts we offered.
Melchior, it sounds to me as if you have found a new jewel more precious than gold and perfumes we brought.
Indeed. The gold, the jewels, the perfumes, we desire some of these in this world, but they are no comparison to the Christ child given to us from God.
You sound like a person who is no longer young, but is now older and wiser. Older, indeed.
Typecasting.
Melchior, what have you learned?
I think God has taught me through this journey that I can only find that meaning by taking a great risk. By being willing to give up my old life and doing something. I took this journey and I'm learning to do the truth. In that baby, God was doing the truth, not merely searching for the truth.
I agree. I was thinking the other day, a thief does not become a thief only by thinking about stealing. A thief becomes a thief by stealing once, then a second time, and a third time. And so on, until it becomes a way of life. By his very character and the way he lives, the thief has become a thief. So, likewise, a kind person becomes a kind person by an ongoing, repeated act and another act until they have become a person who lives a life full of good, loving deeds.
You're a deep thinker. I recall your dream before we presented our gifts. It shook me to the core. In your dream, you saw each of us preparing to offer our gift. You saw...
The angel Gabriel stands by, guarding the door. The first of the visitors was Gaspar, a wealthy woman with a cloak of fine velvet, trimmed with flawless fur. She stopped at the door by the angel Gabriel.
Greetings, Gaspar. I trust your journey went well. You have traveled along and far to visit this young one. All who enter must bring a gift.
I brought this gift of the finest gold.
Your gift must be something of the essence of yourself. Something precious to your soul.
That's exactly what I thought.
But as Gaspar knelt to lay her gold before the child, she stopped and stood erect. In her hand lay not gold, but a hammer. Its scarred and blackened head, its long handle lay there in Gaspar's hand. Gaspar stood there, dumbfounded.
What you hold in your hands is the hammer of mankind's greed, used to pound wealth from those who labor, so that some may live in luxury while others live in slums.
Gaspar bowed her head in shame and turned to leave, but Gabriel blocked her way.
No, you have not offered your gift.
Give this? Not to a king.
This is why you came. You cannot take it back. It's too heavy a burden. Leave it here, or it will destroy you.
Why? The child cannot lift it.
He is the only one who can.
So Gaspar placed the hammer near Jesus and slowly turned to leave. Next to step to the door was Melchior, the scholar with the length of his beard and the furrows of his brow illuminating the wisdom of age. He, too, paused before the door.
What have you brought for the child?
I brought frankincense, the fragrance hidden lands and bygone days.
Your gift must be something of the essence of yourself, something precious to your soul.
Melchior stood breathless, kneeling reverently down to draw a silver flask from beneath his robe. But the vessel in his hand was not silver at all. It was a common clay, tough and stained. Aghast, he pulled the stopper from its mouth and sniffed the contents.
Ugh, this is vinegar.
You have brought some of what mankind is made of. Bitterness. The soured wine of lives turned grim with jealousy and hate. Carried within too long. The memories of old hurts, hoarded resentments, and smoldering anger. Man has sought knowledge, but filled their lives with poison.
But this is vile stuff. What if the child should touch it to his lips?
You must leave that worry to heaven. There is use even for vinegar.
One more visitor comes forward. Belshazzar, the leader of many legions and the scourge of walled cities. He grasped a finely bound box.
I bring myrrh, the most precious plunder of my boldest conquest. Many have fought and died for this, the essence of a most rare herb.
But is it the essence of yourself, something precious to your soul?
The soldier shuffles forward, bowing his head near the ground and releasing his grip on the handle of the box. But what he laid before the child's feet was his own spear.
It cannot be. Some enemy has tricked me.
That is more true than you know. 1,000 enemies have manipulated mankind and turned their souls into spears. Living only to conquer, they have conquered. Each battle they win leads only to another.
I cannot leave this.
Are you sure?
But here, he is but a child. The spear could pierce his flesh.
That fear you must leave to heaven.
Belshazzar leaves the spear and slowly walks away. What of the gifts, you ask? The hammer, the vinegar, the spear? Another story tells how they were seen once more years later on a lonely hill outside of Jerusalem. But don't worry, that's the burden heaven itself took care of, as only heaven can.
Truth comes by doing. I've learned that by the risk and the walking of this journey.
We have all seen the truth of God in the Christ-like child.
That's what draws us together. I think all of us are people of the truth, and we have found that the truth is in this Christ. The knowledge of Christ is the answer that we have been looking for.
The hour's getting late. Day's almost over. We need to be on our separate ways.
It is time for us to go. Peace be with all of you.
And may the peace of God be with you, my friends.
Farewell.
Wise men and women of every age, pondering your hearts what gifts you have received and what you're willing to give for your Christ child. What is the essence of your life that you offer to your King of Kings in the offering plate? What gifts do you give to your King in your daily life? Wise men and women, ponder in your hearts what gifts you have received and what you are willing to give to your Christ child. Amen. Now let's sing about them. We three kings. And that's in the blue book. Oh, it's in the blue book, and it's 646. Oh, we don't have them. No. Sorry about that. I thought we'd have them in the pew.
That's okay.
Real quick.
Glory and power, bearing gifts, return.
3, which you have printed in your bulletin. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. He was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Dwelling in the presence of God with us, let us boldly pray for the church, the world, and all in any need. Drawn into the light of God, we pray for the proclamation of the grace of Jesus Christ. Give us courage and boldness to go forth into the world to tell the good news of what God has done. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Drawn into the glory of creation, we pray for the earth. Sustain every living thing with abundant resources, clean water, and sustainable harvests. Help us to steward all that you have provided. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Drawn into the brightness of God's presence, we pray for the nations of the world. Reveal your compassion and peace for the sake of all who live in the shadow of oppression, violence, and fear. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Drawn into the light of healing mercy, we pray for all who wait for healing and relief, the relief of suffering. We pray especially this day for those we name in our hearts and out loud. Dan. Give us hope in the promise of new life, where pain and suffering will be no more. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Drawn into the dawn of a new day, we pray for the ongoing reconciliation between people. Make us bold to name sin in our lives and unite us in the promise of forgiveness and mercy. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Drawn into the promise of everlasting light, we pray for those who mourn and give thanks for all the saints who now rest in the brightness of God's presence. Make us confident in our worship as we reflect the light of God with eternal praise. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Trusting in the presence of God by the power of the Holy Spirit, we commend all for whom we pray, dwelling in the light and hope of Christ our Savior.
Amen. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share that peace.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, maker of all things. Through your goodness you have blessed us with these gifts. With them we offer ourselves to your service and dedicate our lives to the care and redemption of all that you have made for the sake of him who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. By the leading of the star, he has shone forth to all nations. In the waters of the Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved Son, and in the miracle of water turned into wine, he revealed your glory. And so with all the choirs of angels, and with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. That all those who believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We give thanks to you for the salvation you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Send now your Holy Spirit into our hearts, that we may receive our Lord with a living faith as he comes to us in his Holy Supper. Amen.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Jesus came to rescue me. This child of God would grow to be a man and one day die for you and me. Our sins would drive the nails in him. That rugged cross was our cross too. Every breath he drew was, yes, an act of worship. Come, he was betrayed, our Lord. He broke the bread and blessed it then and said, this is my body given for you. Then he took the cup and raised it high and said, my blood is shed for you. Forgiven, remember me. Oh, come, Lord Jesus.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. I invite all who believe in the presence of Christ to join us in this celebration of his life and death. And I would like to ask Pastor John, would you be willing to serve the bread? I don't think I'm contagious, but okay. I don't want to. I, as much as I love to share, this is one thing I don't want to share. Please stand as you are able. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen and keep you in his grace. Amen. With one heavenly food, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Songs of thankfulness and praise.
Thank you.
Again, welcome to all who are here. There are just a few announcements I want to make certain I make. One is to say thank you, thank you, thank you to our cast of characters. Didn't they do a good job? They were wise people. Today at 1:30, council meets. And on Thursday, I believe our first Bible study starts. So if, come Thursday evening, or if you want to come in the morning, I'll be doing the same one over at Union Congregational, so you can choose which one you want to come to. Are there other announcements? I know that Colleen had one, or Dima has one.
Go ahead, Dima.
Well, as on our road toward having a new pastor installed, we need a transition team to be nominated and also approved. And we'd like to have some volunteers to be on this transition team. Even if you volunteer, you're going to be approved. So I can say we're looking for good people, and I see lots of them in this congregation. We've already had several people step up. So if you'd like to help in this transition toward our new pastor, we're just looking for your input. And amongst all the inputs from the transition team, we will come up with a report that we will present to the council, and then they can go on from there with the call team. And then your job's done, as I understand.
And if you're worried about having to chair it, don't worry, that's my job. It's in my job description.
So we'll have somebody who can guide us through this process. We don't have to work on it ourselves.
In other words, you don't have to invent the wheel.
Right.
Yes.
I think we should add also that we need members to step up and be part of the council. You know, this is our church, and I think everybody should have a voice in it, and everybody should know what's going on. So please, if you're interested at all, get in contact with the pastor or one of the council people, and we'd love to have you join us.
One of the purposes of the transition committee is to take that load off of the council. The council has enough to do, and they don't need one more challenge.
But it also allows the rest of the congregation to have their input.
That's right. Colleen.
Two announcements. First, Denise asked me to say something about being an usher. Ushers are wonderful. We love our ushers. The only hard part is counting the number of people here, which we fail to do quite often. But otherwise, it's a very easy job, and you can come 5 minutes early and put the bulletins out and greet people, and it's almost fun. The second announcement is that I'm in charge of the Centennial Committee, and we're moving forward. We have lots of things coming up. The first one I just got approved today. John, you're going to have a program. 1st of February, we're going to have the Bell Choir come, and John is going to do his same thing that he did last Sunday, explaining hymns and talking about hymns. And the Bells will be here to present their version of the numbers. And we're going to have cake and ice cream, and we're going to invite the music club, and we're going to have a big celebration on February 10th. As it stands right now.
Okay, super. Yes?
And anyone wants to help, 1:30 this afternoon, we're going to de-decorate the church.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then one other thing, we are working on it's a lot of announcements today. We're working on a new directory. So I have my camera. If you want to have your picture taken today, great. If you have not all your family members and can't, if you email me a picture at the church office, digital world, I can go ahead and put it into the church directory when we get it done. But I do have my camera here, and if I'm here on that Sunday, sometimes I'm not, and everyone's here, maybe you can grab someone, the camera will be in the office, but I will take pictures. We want to update our directory, it's pretty old. All right, so if anyone wants a picture taken today, if the family's all here, I can do it after church. If not, digitally send me a picture via email, okay?
Okay. A lot going on.
I know there is.
Yeah.
Welcome to January.
Yes. That's when, in the past, January was one of those months when pastors could sit back and relax a little.
No.
This isn't one of them. All right. Any other announcements? Then let's go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.